2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10, is the verse that we have been in and will be in for just a little bit. I think it's an important verse because here in 2 Timothy, we know this was Paul writing at the end of his life, probably the last thing that he wrote, sent to his son in the faith, the man that Paul had mentored. And he wanted Timothy to know how to carry on after Paul was gone. And in verse number 10, he's talking about his testimony. And he lets Timothy, or reminds Timothy, you knew who I was. And he lists different areas where Timothy fully knew who Paul was. So let's read that verse, have a word of prayer, and then we'll jump into our message. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Father, we thank you for this verse. And Father, as we consider the things written herein about the life of the Apostle Paul, Father, may your Holy Spirit take and apply this to our lives. Because, Father, we know that we'll all leave a legacy behind. And, Father, what will that legacy look like? Will we be able to say the same things that the Apostle Paul said to Timothy? And so challenge our hearts tonight. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we already looked at Paul's doctrine. Timothy knew Paul's doctrine very well, fully knew, as the Bible says. Last week, we looked at Paul's manner of life, the way Paul lived. Tonight, I want to move to the third thing that Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, told Timothy he fully knew about the Apostle Paul, and that was his purpose, his purpose. We all have a purpose. The purpose in our life is just simply that which drives us, what motivates us, what makes us tick is another way we say it. What is it that made the Apostle Paul keep doing what he did and keep getting up every morning and facing every day? And as we will look in just a little, not today, but in a later study when we look at his long-suffering, we'll look at some of the things that Paul endured on a daily basis, or at least on a regular basis. And sometimes we wonder, why did Paul keep doing that? Why didn't he quit? Why didn't he stop? Why didn't he change his methods? Why didn't he decide to go ahead and take a path of less resistance? What was it about Paul that kept driving him? And I think Timothy understood what drove Paul. And this verse tells us that he did. He fully knew what drove Paul. Unfortunately, we don't really know what drove Paul personally. If I were to take a raise of hands and say, tell me what drove the Apostle Paul, we'd give a few answers, but we wouldn't fully know what drove him. And so I thought it'd be an interesting study to go to each one of the books that he wrote and see if there's a clue. And so let's turn back to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. In the book of Romans, does Paul give us a clue about what motivated him, what made him get up every day and do the things that he did? Here in 2 Timothy, we find him in a Roman prison. Not his first time in prison. He had been in prison several times and been in different difficult situations. What made him do that? Look at chapter number 1, verse number 14. Paul says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. What Paul is saying here, one of the things that motivated him in life, one of the things that kept him going is that he understood he was a debtor to all men. He was a debtor to all men. Now, this runs contrary to so much to so many in our society. Today, we feel like our society owes us, that all men owe us something. And we see this anytime there's a disaster. It wasn't always this way. It was really Hurricane Katrina where all of a sudden our country felt that anytime there's a disaster, the federal government needs to step in and pay for everything. Because we feel that we're owed everything. And that's the way our society is anymore. But Paul didn't have that attitude, so that when difficult circumstances came into his life, he didn't become overwhelmed with confusion.
He understood that he owed society something. And we need to get back to that in our society and realizing that we owe our society something. And Paul gave them the best that he had. He gave them the gospel of Christ. And it drove him every day to preach. And he said, so much as in me is. In other words, Paul says, I gave it everything I've got because I owe society a great debt. And so that's the first thing we find out, a clue as to what made Paul tick was he realized he was a debtor. He was a debtor to all men. Let's move over a book to 1 Corinthians. And I think if you examine the contents of the book of Romans, you find out that it's consistent with that verse and with that thought. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I think we find a second clue as to what motivated Paul in life, what got him up every morning of every day, no matter if he was in a jail, if he was on a ship, if he was on an old country road just walking from one town to the next. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31. As Paul is giving advice to the Corinthians under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, I believe he lived this. He says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And I think that last phrase summarizes one of Paul's purposes in life, and that's to do all to the glory of God. He mentions eating and he mentions drinking, those ordinary tasks, those mundane tasks that we do every day, even those that are necessary for survival. He says, do it in such a manner, do it in such a way that you're bringing glory to God. Paul was aware that everywhere he went and everything he did, that there were observers, people watching what he did and how he did it, and the way he responded, the way he acted, the way he talked. And so he says, I'm not going to do anything that will cast a shadow on my Savior, that will cause shame to my Christian testimony. He said, everything I do, I'm going to try to bring glory to God. That's what motivated Paul. Paul says, Timothy, you fully knew my purpose in life. And Timothy knew that Paul's purpose was, first of all, that he was a debtor to all men. Secondly, that he did everything to the glory of God. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians as we follow through the books that God used the Apostle Paul to pen and look for clues about what Paul's purpose in life was. Because sometimes we don't excel in our Christian life because we don't understand what our motivation ought to be. And so hopefully somewhere in here you'll find some things that you already do and have as a purpose, but hopefully you'll also find some things that will be a challenge in your life that will help you to grow closer to Christ and be more consistent in your Christian living. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 12, God says this through Paul. He says, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience. Now that's a key phrase to letting us know this is his purpose. He says, this is what we've striven to do with our lives, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. What he's saying in that verse, he's saying, I did everything I could by the grace of God to maintain my integrity. Paul never tried to be someone he wasn't. Paul knew exactly who he was. In fact, we understand that he said that he was the chief of sinners. Paul always understood that. He never got away from who he was. He knew his background. He didn't back down and try to say that I didn't have any learning in the Scriptures. Paul understood that he had a privileged learning. And so the strong points he had in his life, he didn't back down on those and with false modesty say he was less than he was. But he also never made himself more than he was. And so the Apostle Paul maintained an integrity in his life and in his living, and that was part of his purpose, and that caused him to preach with simplicity and to live with simplicity and not with this fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. And so Paul had that as a motive and a purpose of his life, and Timothy understood that. And Timothy would need that to be successful in the service for Christ and his Christian living, to maintain that integrity. As we move into the book of Galatians, as we try to find clues as to Paul's purpose in life, in order that we might also adopt that purpose that Paul had. In Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, probably some of you have memorized this verse, a wonderful verse. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is just simply saying, I die daily. He says that elsewhere in Scripture. I die daily. Now that doesn't mean that he physically dropped over and left this world. No, it says that I gave up my desires and I gave up my goals and I gave up everything in life to the will of God. And now I do God's will to the best of my ability, aided by His grace. And that's exactly what he's saying in that verse. He says, my desires don't mean anything. My whims and wishes and goals, I put them all aside in order that I might live for Christ. Boy, what a great purpose and motivation in life. And that's part of what helped Paul go through the things that he went through in the ministry as he traveled from city to city and the persecution he faced and the imprisonments he endured and the shipwrecks he went through. He says three times he was in the sea. And so Paul went through all these things because he died daily to his own will and was living to the will of God. And in every one of those situations, he saw the hand of God working in his life and working through him and reaching others for the Savior. And so Paul kept on keeping on, even in the worst of circumstances, because he was dead to self. If we move over to Ephesians, we find a fifth clue as to Paul's purpose, his motivation, that which made him tick in life. And Paul understood that Timothy fully knew these things about the Apostle Paul. Timothy knew Paul well. And Timothy is being reminded by his mentor that this is what it takes to be successful for the Savior. In Ephesians chapter 3, let's start reading with verse number 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. To break this all down real simply about what Paul is saying, he's just simply saying, one of my purposes in life, one of the things that drives me, one of those things that keeps me going day after day is just simply the thought of being effective for God. Being effective for God. That was one of Paul's desires, one of his motives, one of his purposes. He didn't want to just go out and preach for the sake of preaching. He didn't want to say some eloquent words. Paul didn't care how it came out. In fact, we understand that Paul was not an eloquent preacher, which may surprise us when we consider the wonderful books that God had him pen. But Paul was not an eloquent preacher. And yet God used him. Paul had his desire met, used him in a powerful way. And that should bring us great encouragement if this becomes our purpose, to just simply be effective for God. Not just going through the motions of serving God. I think it was last week about that song, Hold the Fort. Christians were never called to hold the fort. We were called to charge the gates of hell and be successfully winning Christ, souls for Christ, winning individuals for the kingdom of God. But that takes effectiveness, and effectiveness comes with a price. It is not automatic. And Paul was willing to pay that price, and it goes back to what we just looked at about him dying daily, dying to self, and living to the will of God. And so when we consider Paul's purpose in Romans, we see he was a debtor to all men. In 1 Corinthians, we see that he lived for the glory of God. In 2 Corinthians, we find that he always maintained his integrity. In Galatians, we found out he died daily. Here in Ephesians, we found out one of his purposes was simply to be effective for God. In Philippians, we have another clue as to what motivated Paul and what drove him to endure the things he endured and to do the things that he did. In Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Let's begin reading in verse number 13. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." When he talks about apprehending, he's talking about becoming in the image of Christ. That's what the whole point of this passage is about. He says, "I haven't made it yet. I haven't arrived yet. I still have work to do," or better said, God still has work to do on me. He says, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind," which would include failures, but also include successes. He says, "forgetting those things and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And so one of those driving factors in his life, one of the purposes in his life, is simply to press toward the mark. And the Savior is that mark. In Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so Paul was always looking to Christ and seeing his own shortcomings as he did so, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Paul understood that even as a saved man, he still sinned and still came short of the glory of God. And so he held Christ out as his example, as his model. He says, "That's what I'm striving for. That's the mark I'm trying to achieve, that I'm trying to apprehend," to use the word that he used here in the book of Philippians chapter 3. And so he gives us an illustration of that runner who's at or on the race course competing against others, and the finish line is coming up, and he doesn't, as the finish line comes up, he doesn't slow down and take it easy and take a vacation and put his feet up in the easy chair sipping on tea, does he? When he sees that finish line, he presses harder. He has that last burst, that last sprint, trying to get across the finish line before anyone else can get there. Paul says, that's the illustration of how I'm living my life. Always sprinting, giving his all to be like Christ. Paul's purpose. Timothy knew this about the Apostle Paul. And Timothy understood that's what made Paul so effective, is he was always pressing toward the mark. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at another clue as we're going through the epistles that Paul wrote, looking for clues as to Paul's purpose in life. Because if we were to, if I would have asked at the beginning, I think we all just would have said his purpose was to win souls to Christ. And you wouldn't have been far off. But there was more to it than that. It was more complex than that. And if I were to ask you, is your purpose in life to win souls to Christ? How many of us would be able to say it most definitely is? You see, there's more to it than that. And if we get these other ducks in a row, that then will become one of those ducks in that row. And so here in Colossians chapter 1, let's begin in verse number 28. Let's read 28 and 29. "Whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." In other words, Paul says, I labor and I strive in order to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, what is it to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus? It's just simply to win them to Christ and see them grow to Christian maturity. And so Paul, in the previous book, said, my personal goal is to become like Christ. And then he says here in Colossians, he says, another one of my personal goals is to make, or to lead others to become like Christ in his image. And so that's another motivating factor in a life of Christ. In fact, that's probably what motivated 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10. When Paul said to Timothy that he had fully known his purpose, he says, Timothy, look, this is what it takes. This is what you need to do. Paul's simply trying to present Timothy perfect in Christ Jesus. Trying to get Timothy to bump his Christian faith, his Christian life, up another notch or two or three or ten or 20. So Paul says, look, this is my, to the Colossian church, this is my goal in life. This is what motivates me. This is what I did when I was there, and this is what I'm doing as I write this book, trying to encourage you to be like Christ so that I can present you perfect in Christ Jesus. The reason Paul kept going, the reason why he endured what he did. Well, let's turn over to another book. The next one, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. I wish more, especially pastors, would get a hold of this. You see, Paul is telling the Thessalonian church that one of the driving motivations or purposes in his life was to please God. He wasn't as concerned about pleasing men. Now, he didn't want to be offensive. And he didn't want to be rough with men. He wanted to please men. But ultimately, if pleasing men or pleasing God were his choices, he chose God's side every time. And unfortunately, in so many churches today, there is no concern with pleasing God. In the whole seeker-sensitive movement, the whole philosophy behind that is pleasing men. Paul says that's not the way to live. That's not a proper purpose. That's not the right motivation. The right motivation is to please God in all that we do. And all that we do includes our music, and includes our Bible version, includes the way we talk, and includes the way we dress, and includes the things that we do. And Paul understood that, and he tells the Thessalonian church that this is what we did. And so, as we do that, in verse number 3, he says our exhortation was not of deceit, uncleanness, or in guile. He didn't try to trick anyone. He didn't try to fast talk anyone into anything. And that's what so much is going on in Christianity, and they call it trying to reach souls for Christ. Well, it's unbiblical, it's ungodly, it's unscriptural, and it does not get the job done. So many Christian rock, they call themselves musicians. I don't know how much of a rock band is a musician. I don't know much about music, but my oldest brother does. And I remember a conversation I had with him before I even got saved. Because he was a talent. He could pick up any instrument and play it well. And I remember as a kid watching him in his room. At that time he was working on the organ. I remember him having a French horn and I forget what else now. In his closet. He was proficient on all of it. But I remember him with a record player. Remember the good old days? He was writing out the music of the song on the record. I mean, he was talented musically. And anyway, I remember the conversation I had with him much later. I was a teen. He was around 30 at the time. But he said, Ken, he said, you could play any instrument in any rock song. He says, there is no musical ability required. He said, it'll only take you a second and you'll pick it up. He said, there's absolutely nothing to that music. So I have trouble calling them musicians. But one of their excuses for doing what they do is saying, we're drawing a crowd and through the music we're presenting Christ. No, they're not. They're trying to trick the crowd in by pretending to be the world and then trying to trick them into receiving Christ. That's the bottom line. Now, they'll never say that, nor will they ever agree to that. That's exactly what they're doing. And so are these churches that are going to the rock band, that are going to taking the ties off, and the pastor's wearing a polo shirt and sometimes shorts, trying to be the world, to trick the world into coming, thinking that they're at home with that crowd, and then trying to trick them into receiving Christ. That's what it's all about. Paul says, that's not what I did. Paul said, I was concerned about pleasing a holy God. And so I didn't stoop to the world, because he tells me to come out from among them and be ye separate. He says the world got saved by the multitudes through his ministry and through his methods. So why do we today think we can go against proven biblical methods and have the same results? It just doesn't make sense to me. We're talking about Paul's purpose. Paul is preparing Timothy to take over upon Paul's departure. He says, Timothy, you've got to have the right purpose, the right motivation, the right things that get you up every morning and keep you going throughout the day, because there will be hardship. And as I said, he'll talk about that in just a moment. But right now he's talking about what motivates us. And we've seen from Romans that he was a debtor to all men. From 1 Corinthians, he did all to the glory of God. From 2 Corinthians, that he always maintained his integrity. From Galatians, that he died daily. From Ephesians, that he sought to always be effective for God. In Philippians, that he pressed toward the mark. In Colossians, that he wanted to present every man perfect. Here in 1 Thessalonians, simply to please God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse number 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now, the context here is that the Thessalonian believers were enduring some pretty stiff persecution. Life was rough. The unbelievers, the lost, were all over them, causing them all kinds of hardship. And they were getting discouraged. They were wanting to quit. Life was easier if they didn't live for Christ. And God is encouraging them through Paul, and it's kind of revealing part of Paul's purpose in living when Paul is telling them to simply rest in the second coming. And what he's telling them is God will sort it all out in the end. And you'll be glad that you stayed faithful to Christ in the face of such persecution, such opposition. They'll get their comeuppance in that day. In fact, if we read the next couple of verses, he says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Not a pleasant passage of scripture. He's talking about hell. Those that reject the saving knowledge of Christ will endure that for eternity. And Paul is reminding the Thessalonian believers, look, that's what's going to happen to them. They're going to be judged for their sins. But you'll be rewarded for your faithfulness. So don't give up now. Second coming is right around the corner. He's talked about it throughout the epistle of 1 Thessalonians. They had it fresh in their minds. And Paul says, rest in that. Endure another day of hardship. Endure another day of difficult circumstances. Endure another day of persecution. Because that next day may be the day Christ returns. And so Paul says, that's my purpose. I don't want to quit one day before he comes. I don't want to give up one day too early. I want to stay faithful to the end. And he alludes to that in 2 Timothy chapter 4 when he says, I've fought the fight, finished my course. And so Paul reminds Timothy, look, you knew what motivated me. You knew what my purpose was. Adopt the same motivations and purposes in your life, and you'll be successful. And the same holds true for each of us here tonight. What motivates you to get up in the morning and endure through the day and to go through the hardships? I hope some of these things are a part of your life. If not, why not? Let God have control. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for Paul's testimony. Thank you for giving us at least a brief glimpse into his life. and how you used him. And Father, if Paul were here, he'd say it was nothing of him, but all of Christ, by your grace, by your power. And we understand that. And in fact, we're encouraged by that. Because, Father, we know that we too are the chief of sinners. And we know if you can use Paul as the chief of sinners as you did, you can use us as well. Father, help us to have the right purposes, the right goals, the right motivations that bring glory to you and that you smile upon. We'll thank you for what you'll do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.